Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Live from the 6th and Peabody Studio and across the OutKick Network, this is OutKick 360 with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharsky.
From 6th and Peabody, downtown Nashville, glad you're with us. Just like
we're
that,
back,
Chad,
baby.
The final hour is here.
We are back.
There's a buzz in the air. We're hitting October this weekend. We turn the calendar. The heart of the NFL is about to pick up, big storylines, and of course college football with plenty of conference play to discuss.
Hutton, there's both a buzz in the air and a chill in the air. It finally feels like football season around here. At least it does in Nashville right now.
Josh Pate joins us, always wearing the short sleeve shirts, I'm sure, as he makes his Pate State tour, sideline to sideline. Josh, we said prior to you joining us, with the OutKick Tour last fall, the only difference, I think, in how much fun you're having versus us is you have sideline access, and we were not allowed on campuses based on CBS and their...
it helps to be affiliated with the SEC.
Yes.
You know, if you get the TV rights to the SEC, you're in a winning position. With Fox last year, they have no SEC rights, which meant, Josh, we have no rights either on SEC campuses. So
get ready.
Congratulations.
Get ready for Big Ten access moving forward, Josh. Congratulations.
I do not have the clearance to apologize on behalf of the company, but I will independently apologize.
Yes,
and
there you
say,
go. Thank you.
That's a shame. That's too bad, is my official company stance there.
And we don't have the clout to ask for an apology from the company.
That's
so
right.
Thank you for saying that.
Smart man.
Late kick off to a great start to the season. I'm following on YouTube. Everyone listening should be doing the same on the evenings. Biggest surprise storyline, based on all the previews that you've done leading into September, Josh, would be what right now?
I think how rapid we saw a tier one develop. I like to traffic in my own kind of power ratings. I don't like to look at the AP, so I like to have my own numbers. Whether they're right or not is an entirely different story, but I like to have my numbers to reference. And right now, man, we did a segment the other night where I just put up, you know, what my top 25 in the country would be right now, but I just base it purely on odds making and whatnot. And in any given order, Bama, Ohio State, and Georgia are going to be your 1, 2, 3. What's crazy is there's a gap of 14 points, like 2 touchdowns is the gap between number 3 and number 4. And then there's only a 7-point gap between number 4 and number 25. So you have very, very pronounced tiers already. So there has not really thus far, I guess Texas came the closest, there's not been anyone really crack the veneer of that tier one. But outside of that tier one, guys, it is a total madhouse. And that's why you're seeing a lot of quote unquote crazy upsets every week. It's really not crazy if you strip away what the ranking says about a team and you just look at how wide the gap is, because there's not a wide gap at all.
Yeah, and I'm glad you bring this up, because I think the critics would say, oh, there are 3 teams that are going to win the title. Great. But to your point, I don't know, the parity between the rest of the 25 maybe has never been closer, at least in recent years. And that's a great thing for the sport week to week.
It's phenomenal. It depends on which lens you choose to view the sport through. We've talked about this when I've come on this show before, about how I'm a big regular season guy. And this is one of the reasons why. Because if you're just a playoff person, if you think that every game that doesn't have playoff implications is meaningless, what a miserable existence you must be living right now. Because you got phenomenal games every week that feature teams that probably wouldn't stand much of a chance if they were on the field with Ohio State or Bama. But I'm going to watch Iowa State, Kansas this weekend. I think that's a really, really good game. I thought Baylor and Oklahoma State coming up this weekend, or Baylor and Iowa State last week, really good matchup. So you can either traffic in the more casual playoff-oriented stance, which I advocate for if you're a pro football fan, but it's not the way any college football fan should be living their lives.
Josh, I don't know if it's unique to this season, but I do feel like we know so much about individual teams already. You know, we know the identity. We kind of know what they are and who they are. I'm going to use Tennessee as an example with this. We thought coming into the season, hey, that offense under Josh Heupel, it's a great offensive system. They've got some players. They should be really good. But what if the rest of the country kind of catches up to what they're doing? We now know, I feel like, through four games, Tennessee's going to have a great offense throughout. They're going to score a bunch of points. Their secondary's not very good. We know a lot about this team. But when you watch that game against Florida and the performance offensively in that game, and I feel like Pat Narduzzi's also pretty good devising a defense and what Tennessee was able to do against them, just how big is that for Josh Heupel, for the benefit of the doubt he gets from the fan base, to show up and beat Florida in a game that everyone was watching?
We were at that game, and I thought to myself afterwards, observing the celebration, that would not make sense for you. If you just passively observe the sport, and if you're more a baseball fan or like even an NFL fan and you dabble in college football, if you turned on Tennessee, Florida, and all you knew was the point spread, it would not have made any sense to you that that team there in orange and white is celebrating and they're about to throw a borderline parade. I mean, post game, it was wild down there on the field. And so if you turn it on and you say the 10-point favorite didn't even cover, why are they so out of their minds celebratory? If you know the history of that rivalry, if you understand how massive that hurdle has been for that program, and it's one of three hurdles they've had. They got two more of them down the road. But if you understand how massive that was to get over, that celebration all makes sense. Here's another thing about that game. Last year, Tennessee's problem was they start fast and then they plateau. Well, they scored 35 of their 38 after the first quarter in that game. So that's another solid change that you've seen under Heupel. And the third thing, going back to that Pitt game, I think if you're a Tennessee fan, you actually watch the game, you would convince yourself we made every error imaginable in that contest. That's the kind of game we lose by 14 last year. Somehow we find a way to win. So I looked at Tennessee coming out of that game and I said, wow, like they went up there, they beat a pretty good Pitt team. Didn't even play close. They probably played C plus or B minus ball relative to what they're capable of. And I listened to some people after the Tennessee Florida game, and they, you know, it's the pessimistic side of folks who want to say, yeah, they got that win, but you can't win with that secondary. You can't beat so and so with that secondary. And look, I know what they mean by that, but football teams are not kitchen appliances. It's not like if you have one faulty part on a football team, there's just terminal illness and there's no way it can function. It's just about how good your strengths are at masking your weaknesses. Kentucky's undefeated right now. They got a bad offensive line. They can't run the ball. They're still undefeated because they found a way to mask it. Tennessee's undefeated right now. They've got big games coming up against teams that can throw the football. They'll have to outscore them, but they've got the capability of doing it is the point. So you can win with a flawed team, because I got news. Even those three we talked about at the top, they're not perfect either. So they all got flaws.
He's the host of Late Kick Live, the Late Kid podcast. Josh Pate's with us. Pate State on Outkick 360.
Well, you mentioned Kentucky there, and you mentioned the history between Tennessee and Florida. Not a ton of history between Kentucky and Ole Miss and these two programs. But, Josh, I feel like this is my favorite game of the week this weekend in the SEC when you look at this matchup between these two teams. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think about Kentucky going to Ole Miss and taking on Lane Kiffin's team?
Turnovers. I think the game's going to be decided by turnovers. This is the one we chose to go to. I think it's the best game in the country Saturday. I think it will end up being the most entertaining game in the country. The first thing that people need to know is you're probably wrong in your perception of Ole Miss if you haven't watched them. Because most people who just know Lane Kiffin and they think they know Ole Miss, you just think they throw the ball all over the place, which is not what they've done at all. You also may very well be wrong about Kentucky. These are two teams that people know of, but don't kid yourself. Very few people have watched all four quarters of all their games so far. So you probably think about Kentucky and you think hard nose, ground and pound, solid offensive line, good run game. They're bad at running the ball right now. Offensive line is not good. And so neither of these teams have a reality that matches the perception. I think Altmyer and Dart, in no particular order, at quarterback for Ole Miss, have made very questionable decisions this year. They haven't had to pay for them in the form of a loss yet. On the other side, Kentucky's given up 16 sacks so far this year. They haven't had to pay for it in the form of a loss. To me, when you combine those two things, it sounds so much like a recipe for a turnover-filled game. I know that Kentucky gets Rodriguez back at running back. I don't know that it's going to up their yards per carry average enough to where the ground game can carry them. So it's going to be on Will Levis. It's going to be on those quarterbacks for Ole Miss. And I think there is so little skill in forecasting this game because of how big I think turnovers will be in deciding the outcome.
What am I missing on Ole Miss, Chad? Josh? I haven't seen enough to know that they're a touchdown better than Kentucky.
Other than Ole Miss missing their student section at home games because they're leaving early or not showing up.
I've at least seen Kentucky go on the road once in the SEC and beat Florida. And no matter how we view Florida, Kentucky did that. And Ole Miss, I mean, again,
they're a 7-point favorite. And by the way, Josh, I love that you picked that game to go to this weekend. I'm with you. I think it's the best. But
yeah,
that spread does jump out to me as one of those questions where you always say, what does Vegas know?
Yeah.
What does Vegas know that we don't about this game?
It's just preseason default. That's all it is. It is preseason default on Ole Miss. And that's not to knock them. The default may be validated, but what you guys just said is accurate. There's no way you can know, for better or for worse. I think both these teams were sleepwalking last week, so I don't really value last week's results at all. But independent of last week, Ole Miss goes on the road. They smash Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech is a corpse of a football program right now. It just doesn't mean anything. So you can't possibly have proven anything. This is the week, to me, that it seems logical to finally start drawing real conclusions, or at least making solid observations about Ole Miss. But to answer the question about how you formulate that point spread, you got guys that are really good at what they do, and they trust their preseason odds making, and that's pretty much what they're working off of with Ole Miss. Now, I took Kentucky to win the game because I happen to believe there's a little inflation there. And if I'm right, I'm right. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But like I said, I don't think there's a whole lot of skill in it because of how much turnovers are going to matter either way.
Would you describe Auburn as a corpse of a football program right now? Because they win an SEC game last week, and I come out of that game feeling worse about both them and Missouri after that performance. What is the state of that group right now being led by Brian Harsin? Because, oh, by the way, they host LSU this Saturday.
Well, everybody knows they're headed towards the cliff. The only thing you don't know is how far away is the cliff. That's really all that is left to decide. I mean, is it one loss away? Do you have to get to the bye week? Is there a certain ugliness that a loss has to take? Because we already saw one of them when they were facing Penn State at home. So I think that everyone around there, and I mean everyone, whether they officially admit they know it or not, I think everyone around there understands what the deal is. I, at the same time, don't know that a lot of folks understand there's still an athletic director search that's going on down there, and they don't know how far along they are in deciding that. They got a search firm kind of working on that. So it's a mess. And here's my question. If you're going to pull the lever on it, if we come to find out that it's one of those remember the Titans, lose a game and we'll fire you sort of deals, well, who's pulling the lever? Who even decides that? Absent an athletic director, is the president doing it? Is the booster that draws the shortest straw, is that who does it? I don't even know how that works right
maybe
now.
Maybe Harsin.
Yeah,
maybe he just throws the deuces up voluntarily.
maybe it's the Boise State AD that makes the decision for everyone and decides to pluck him from an existing job so he can go back home. Who knows?
What a situation that is, by the way. How often does that happen where your former job is just kind of it's kind of there and it's kind of waving at you.
Yeah.
Remember what we had, Brian. We could have it again.
Josh, you've been big on Arkansas and the culture there under Sam Pittman. Boy, that was a devastating loss on Saturday night. The way they lost that game, where you feel like they've got it when they take the early lead and then down the stretch and the field goal and everything else. But you like the culture there. What do you think about their bounce back this week as they host Alabama, a team they had a ton of success against a year ago in a near win?
Well, here's the problem with last year. They gave up 671 total yards to Alabama, which is the most Saban's ever had against a ranked team in his time in Tuscaloosa, ever. They rushed for like 2.5 yards per carry last year. Those are critical metrics that they failed in miserably in that game. Now, here's the plus side, potentially. obviously Bama has not been the same team on the road over the past couple of years that we came to know them as under Nick Saban. So all that could be rendered moot just by the mere location of the game this Saturday. But the other thing is, there's a big lie that gets told a lot in our sport. And that lie is, you are what your record says you are, because we hear it said on Sundays so often, and it's true on Sundays. In the Saturday game, you can get badly misled by looking at a team's record and comparing them to another team and that team's record, because the strength of schedules are so disproportionate team to team, conference to conference. And the fact of the matter is, Arkansas should not win Saturday. They should get beat. They were also a point spread underdog, albeit a small one, to A&M. So I watched that game. I thought Arkansas was the better team. I still do, but that doesn't matter. They lost the game. But the point is, if they come out of this weekend and they lose 38-21, my opinion on Arkansas doesn't change. I look at them, and I think there is about that wide a gap between them and Bama, even at home. So if they perform right in line with my expectation level, why should I shift off what I think about them? But that's not the way this sport works. A lot of times you automatically have to get penalized for a loss, and I have to automatically think less of you. And that's just not the way I go about it. I take a lot of flack for it, but I think it's common sense. I actually think that is logical. But I can guarantee you, because you guys know the sport like I do, if they lose this week, there will be a ton of sarcastic, what do you think about Arkansas now? Well, my answer will deadpan, and I'll say probably the same thing I did. Now, if they lose 55-3, that's a little different story. But if they're competitive and they just get beat by a better team, they just get beat by a better team. That's the way this thing works. No one, even me, predicted them to go undefeated. I didn't predict them to win 11 games or 10 games. I predicted them to be a solid team. Still think they are a solid team. And that's my stump speech for Arkansas right now.
When do you go live tonight?
We will go live in about 2.5 hours, 7 Central, 8 Eastern.
I nearly invited you over for some moonshine and a beer, but you know, it's like, oh, he's about to go live.
So. Yeah, he's got a show.
We're going to keep it clean before the show here.
How long have you been in Nashville, Josh?
Since January of 2020. I got here, and then we got a pandemic, and we got a tornado, and we got bombed, all in the span of the next few months.
Yeah. I mean, that's the trifecta.
So where are you going next, I guess, is the question from all Nashvillians. Yeah. If you're bringing that luck to this city.
Oxford immediately. So heads up Mississippi, I guess is what I should say.
Hey, and maybe Knoxville after that for Bama and the Crimson Tide. That's where we'll be.
Look, so
maybe
I've been taking a ton of grief for how SEC heavy our tour has been. But I will promise you, if that's a matchup of undefeateds, yeah. Having grown up in the household I did in the South and understanding what third Saturday in October means, there is nothing short of law enforcement that would keep me away from that place.
I mean, as long as you have the relationship with your parent company in the SEC, I'd go to an SEC game every week.
Yeah, man.
If I were you, you're not going to get any grief from us on those decisions.
Because soon you're going to be rowing the boat.
That's
with Minnesota.
Right. Yeah. Hey, Minnesota in November is lovely, Josh. Let me tell you, it's not going to be cold at all. It's going to be perfect.
That's what I hear. And I would love to just continue to hear that instead of experiencing it. But I know what awaits me in my future.
Late Kick Live. Catch it tonight and every weeknight with Josh Pate, Pate State. Always great to catch up, man. Thank you for the time.
I appreciate it, guys.
There he is, 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports.
He's got a very good way about him of giving sort of a no-nonsense approach to it. And I did really like what he said, and he said this a lot about there's this just predisposition in college football that's like the old AP voter. You know, how you vote in the AP poll. Like, if you lose, well, you're automatically going to go down a bunch of notches, regardless of how the loss looks or regardless of what happened in the game. And then, oh, they won, but okay, so they're going to stay in this spot in the AP poll, even if they won by 1 point against an awful team.
But it's also because you predicted that, so you want it to happen.
Yeah,
so you want to keep them within range, one way or the other.
I'm with them on Arkansas in that, you know, I feel a lot better about A&M than I did after the loss to App State because they beat Miami and they beat Arkansas. But yet I watched that game, and it's not like my takeaway is, man, you know, Arkansas maybe isn't as great as we thought coming into the season. It's, man, Arkansas should have won that game. KJ Jefferson made a dumb play trying to stick the ball out. And then A&M made a heads-up play, handing it to another defender to run it back 99 yards for a touchdown. And their kicker hit it off the top of the upright.
They were beat by their own formula.
Yeah, it doesn't make me think like, oh, well, maybe Arkansas under Sam Pittman's not as good as we thought. No, they're every bit as good. And I'm expecting – let's put it this way. 17 is the line. Arkansas is going to cover that 17. I feel confident in saying that.
Would you bet our next guest's tip jar on that line, on that cover?
I'm guessing...
On the QR code. There's not even a jar anymore.
I'm guessing her tip jar is probably more than I'm usually comfortable betting. So, no.
More than your $5 and 17 cents or whatever?
I'm a usually like a $2 to $5 a bet type guy.
Yeah.
So, no.
So, if you're listening to our radio network across the Outkick network, you may, from time to time, especially Thursdays and Fridays, you may hear like, man, it sounds like they're, you know, at a bar. But we are. But you can also hear like, you know, cover bands and our next guests. We hear a lot of Shania Twain. That's number one, Chad, on the air.
We hear a lot of Alan Jackson.
A lot of Alan Jackson.
Some George Strait.
For sure. Maybe a little Garth. Especially
little
on
Garth.
Fridays.
Yeah.
Brenna Bone, though, is fantastic on Thursdays. Most Thursdays, she's playing here at 6th and Peabody. She's popping in studio with us as we find out the QR code and what that's worth on the screen here at 6th and Peabody for all these requests that come in. Because we hear the announcement on a weekly basis.
We're going to give you a feel for our home in this next segment.
And then one big thing on every NFL game for the upcoming weekend, starting tonight, as we will watch Miami take on Cincinnati. That's all coming up on Outkick 360. Outkick 360 rolls on across the Outkick network. You're hearing Brenna Bone there. You can hear her at 6th and Peabody with Thursday's edition. During our show, you can probably hear her in the background in the main area here, City Block Long. Chad, we always like to say 6th and Peabody's at the corner of Peabody and 6th in downtown Nashville, but it goes all the way to 8th, right?
Yes.
Deceptively larger than what you may think based on our studio size here.
It's a full city block, right?
That's right.
That's what we've been told. That's how we hype it up.
Brenna just got off stage. She joins us in studio, and she finally found our studio for the first time. Welcome in.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. This is so cool in here.
How long have you been playing here at 6th and Peabody on Thursdays?
I want to say since February. We play sometimes like usually two to three times a month, so... Yeah.
Have you lost all nerves right now when it comes
yes.
to this? Like, are you nervous at all or never?
Right now, I'm very nervous. You guys are going to ask me a bunch of questions about sports.
Yeah, that's coming. We have
So yes, but as far as like, you know, getting on stage, no, because I'll tell you what, I have been thrown for a curve so many times that you just kind of like get used to it.
So what's your take on these Major League Baseball rules?
No,
I'm kidding.
No,
I'm not going to get into that.
No,
no, we're not going to do that to you. It's amazing to me because we were out here getting ready for the show and you were taking the stage and it's like the whole, you know, rock stars want to be the sports people and sports people want to be rock stars. But I look up there and think, this is not something that I would want to do because I would not be in my safe space if I were on stage trying to do that and performing songs for people. Is there ever a day where you get up there and think, man, you know, today may not be the day for me for this, or is it always fun for you?
I'd say it's always fun for me. And I remember talking to some friends, like actually pretty recently about this. This has always been my dream. Like I used to stand on the fireplace at home and like put on shows for the neighborhood, you know? So like it's always been a comfortable place for me to be on a stage. Whereas other people, they don't even like talking in front of people. I will say there was one time specifically that sticks out that I was so nervous. I wanted to throw up. I sang the national anthem at the NASCAR races here in Nashville for opening NASCAR weekend. That was huge because one, you don't want to mess up the national anthem at all in general. Two, especially on NASCAR opening weekend. So that was a time where I was like, why am I doing this to myself? But as soon as I was done, I was like, let's go again. You know, it's one of those adrenaline things.
And that's a really difficult song to sing, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is it a long anthem or short anthem for you? Because there's an over-under for the Super Bowl,
well,
right?
They were taking bets that day, too.
Okay.
They gave me, I can't remember exactly, but I want to say I couldn't go over 2 minutes.
So that's
relatively
fast.
Or they were going to cut me off.
I mean, that's an idle threat. Like, if you go to 215,
they're
going to
cut off the anthem.
I mean, I would have. You're probably way nicer than we are, but I would have told the person who told me that. Okay, sure.
And
you're
going to
cut off our national anthem because I you know, carry out the note a little bit longer on it. Sure.
Right.
Singer-songwriter Brenna Bone in studio with us at 6th and Peabody. You can catch her on Thursdays and then pop in and say hello with us here in studio with Outkick 360. Most requested song that you get is which song?
Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
We hear that a lot here.
As soon as the girls, especially if there's bachelorette parties in the room, they hear that din 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 and they go wild.
So do you charge for that? Like, are you saying like, hey, scan the QR code? We hear that a lot from the Friday stage guys.
Yeah, you know, we always do the we work for tips and you know, send us what you want to hear. And there's certain songs that we know people are going to request. Wagon Wheel, we usually don't play unless it's like a $30 request because...
Good. Yeah, it's worth $30. It's worth whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
Are you, like, have you ever thought about just giving a list of like, here are the songs that I can sing and will sing? Or is it just, hey, make a request and we'll, you know, see if we can play it?
We pretty much try to sing every single request we get, no matter if I've ever heard it before or not. I'll pull my phone down off my little stand for a second and listen to it, you know, for just the verse or whatever. And usually my guitar player will pick up the chords on his phone. So we try to play whatever everybody wants to hear, whether we know it or not.
You're telling me that you can just play the song once in your ear and then go back and just, you have the words in front of you?
Yes.
And you sing it back with your guitar player playing?
Yes, usually, yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
We're going to start making
like
requests.
Like a human jukebox.
Yeah, that's amazing.
We're
going
to start making requests. And we're going to send Matt, we're going to send Matty Ice out here to you on Thursdays with the 360 request.
Absolutely.
So I've had people that have asked me about getting into the media business, sports media. I'm like, look, if you can make it, and most of the people I graduated with in college are now like selling insurance or cars.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, if you can make it a decade, you can make it.
Right.
Right. You're going to start making some money after a decade.
Right.
That's very difficult to people.
Yep.
Music business.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe it based on your experience? Because a lot of people, like, there are songs about Nashville. Jason Aldean's got them.
They call
right?
it a 10-year town.
Yes.
Yep.
So that's true here too. The decade long, you got to make it a decade in order to get your foot in the door.
I would say it's pretty much true. Honestly, like there's so many talented people in this, in, you know, this city, and everybody's here trying to do the same thing. It comes down to, a lot of it is about who you know. I will say a lot of it is about who you know, but that comes with networking. You got to put yourself out there. You got to be out at the bars and shaking hands and doing all that. But I think making it also comes down to like who has the dedication, because there's days where you hear about it. I've played to nobody in the bar, and then I just opened for Jimmy Allen. I don't even know how many thousands of people were there. And it's like, okay, yeah, I'm opening for Jimmy right now, but then tomorrow there's going to be nobody at my show. You know? So it's like, this is what your career does in this town. And it's like, who's got the drive and the dedication to stick it out, you know, for those 10 years, or hopefully it's a little bit shorter than that, but.
That's my average that I throw out there, because that really separates the people that want it versus the people that don't.
Right, right.
Well, I mean, you're playing, you know, you're opening for Jimmy Allen, you said thousands of people there, and then you got a late afternoon crowd here a lot of times that it's packed and people are into it.
Yeah.
I have a confession to make. If I'm in a bar or a place that plays live music and it's a small crowd, like I feel like shame, embarrassment for the act that's singing to the small crowd that's not there for the music.
Yeah.
Is that me putting my own thing on the sing? I feel bad for the person, or do you not really care? Obviously you want a bigger crowd, but are you used to it where it's like, whatever, I don't care. I'm here for a paid gig to do this and I'm going to do it.
Sometimes, like, I don't know. So it depends on the day and I guess like how I'm feeling. Also, if I've had a couple drinks, because if I've had a couple drinks, it's like, whatever, I'm going to just, you know, have so much fun. Regardless, it's fun for me, but it's so much fun when the crowd is engaging and, like, you know, clapping, or not even necessarily like clapping for me, but just, you know, engaging and wanting to hear music and letting us know what they want to hear and what they like and all that.
So. Does a small crowd make you drink more, or does a big crowd make you drink more?
Oh, geez.
So it's either like I want this feeling of no one watching to go away, or I want this feeling of nerves to go away.
I think the big crowd makes me drink more because they start buying me shots and everything else.
Smart.
And I'll tell you what, they buy me shots here, and there's not a bad one that I've had, so I can't help it. Is that pumpkin on your desk?
That is creamsicle.
This is orange creamsicle.
Oh, I got excited.
Yeah. Here's pumpkin. This is pumpkin pie, right? Yeah, this is pumpkin pie moonshine.
I had no idea. Okay.
Well, it's actually funny that people buy you shots, because Davey right here actually just bought you a shot too. So yeah, cheers.
Oh, here we go.
He's going to bring you one also.
Brennabone.com, the website where you can listen to her music and not hear Shania Twain.
And buy my new merch.
Yeah, the merch, the Brennabone sweatshirts, among other things, I'm sure. Tell us about the new single and how we can go listen to it.
The new single is called I Don't Deserve You. It's on all streaming platforms. There's a visual out on YouTube. So you can listen to it on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, wherever you listen to your music. It's been doing great so far. I've been having a lot of fun with it. So
thanks for finding us back here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This has been so much fun.
Absolutely. Pop in anytime. You can discuss your inherited Cleveland Browns fandom and anything else.
I studied like... three players that I was like, okay, if they ask me anything, I know these three players.
That's great. I love a guest that does research before they come in here with us.
Yeah, so I was worried you're going to ask.
You're always welcome now if you did research.
Thank you.
Such a music artist here. Brenna Bone has been our guest. Check her out on Instagram as well. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Coming up, one big thing on every NFL game going into the weekend, starting
Brenna's
with tonight's
game. Brenna's
going
to tell us one big thing on every NFL game when
That's
we come
right.
back.
We're going to get
with
her reaction to
it. With all the research she did, she's ready to go.
That's all next on Outkick 360. Show has really flown by today.
Yeah.
Outkick 360.
Final segment already?
It's here. Rolls on. Big things to our
show
entire crew.
Show has been so quick this week, by the way.
Making
it feels
happen.
Like Friday today. Feels like it's the final segment of our week. But we've got a show tomorrow.
Oh, and we have a jam-packed show tomorrow. Jim Leyritz is going to join us, who's been at all the home games for Aaron Judge this year. He's going to hop a train, and he's headed to another one. Right before that, he's going to join us tomorrow to discuss Aaron Judge and hitting 61, going for 62 in the record. And we'll preview all things college football and NFL. And we're doing that right now, and we're doing it multiple ways. I've got one big thing that's coming up. First, though, DraftKings.com, the DraftKings app, Outkick.com/bet is where you go to take advantage of any offer you hear us speak about when it comes to DraftKings through Outkick 360. Bet $5, win 200 in free bets for all new DraftKings users. You've just got to be 21 years or older, and it's got to be your first time DraftKings Sportsbook offer here, your first bet, first time customers. DraftKings updating the NFL offer. You bet $5 on your initial deposit, you win 200 in free bets. The offer goes live. It's live now for Thursday Night Football. It's through November 20th. Outkick.com/bet. That's outkick.com/bet for more information. Chad, I mentioned earlier, Cincinnati, they've got the white and black uniforms, new helmets. They're the all-white helmet for the uniforms with the black stripes. It looks slick. They're going to look great tonight. They're going to look the part. However, Eli Apple's a part of their defense. And this offseason, Jalen Waddle was asked about the schedule, as was Tyreek Hill. And we have the audio from Tyreek Hill, Chad, of Hill going through the Dolphins schedule, and you'll hear it here, knowing what's at stake whenever he visits Cincinnati as a member of the Dolphins.
Oh, we play on Prime Time that week? I didn't even know that.
Amazon Prime.
Oh, we play on Amazon Prime?
Thursday.
Oh, that's going to be lit right there. I didn't even know that for real. But, yeah, we're looking forward to who we play?
Bengals.
Looking forward to the challenge. It's going to be fun, you know. And I can't wait to go against Eli Apple, man. I owe you, boy. I owe you. I'm here. The cheetah's here.
So I want to go with the Bengals.
The cheetah's here.
I hear Tyreek Hill say that months ago, and I think, oh, this dude's about to go off. He's been putting up numbers all season, and we all know Eli Apple sucks, you know. And by saying that, his mom's going to tweet us. Don't at me.
We know that Hill's going to get the advantage over Eli Apple in this game.
You would think.
You taking Miami?
I am, no. I'm not taking Miami. I'm taking Cincinnati.
Tua's playing.
It's those uniforms, Hutton. I feel like the uniforms are going to be the difference for Cincinnati.
It's the first matchup of Tua and Burrow since 2019, where we saw LSU beat Alabama 46-41 in that epic college football game. Trey Hendrickson recorded 4 tackles, 2.5 sacks, and 2 forced fumbles in Cincinnati's win last week over the Jets. And since 1978, the Dolphins are 14-4 straight up and 13-5 against the spread against the Cincinnati Bengals, who have underperformed to this point, but have a chance on a short week hosting Miami to even their overall record. Here is one big thing on the rest of the NFL slate. So we kick off early Sunday morning in London. God save the king. The league's 100th game played outside of the United States. The 41st regular season international game in the NFL history books. The league has also played 59 preseason international contests. That's how you add this up here to get to 100, and that's what they're going to push. They're not going to tell you about the preseason games. They're going to tell you about the 100 international
games. Because for years
games.
And years, it was only preseason games that would be played abroad.
The Lions did not give Vikings wide receiver Justin Jefferson any space and any room to receive anything last week. Two straight weeks he's been shut down. Davey Hudson asked me about this, looking this up. 2.5 yards of cushion on average. That was it that Detroit allowed. Good for the lowest cushion of any receiver in week 3. How do they keep up with this? I have no idea. I just trust the numbers here. Jefferson managed just 3 passes on 6 targets his way. He caught 3 of those for 16 yards. And we saw what happened there in that. So, Vikings, Saints, who do you want to roll with here? Are you going with the Vikings, who have a lot to prove? Are you going with the Saints, who should move on from Jameis Winston at this point? 8:30 a.m. kickoff Central Time. Bills and Ravens. Next gen stats here. Lamar Jackson. Chad, if I said Lamar Jackson is blitzed a lot, would that surprise you? Defenses are blitzing him a lot.
It would surprise me only because it feels like with a guy with his legs, you'd want more of a cage rush, yep, and sit in coverage and have a spy.
As of right now, Lamar Jackson is blitzed more than any starting quarterback in the NFL.
Shows how much I know.
Well, it's also kind of stupid if you think about it. This guy's rushed for 100 yards in 2 straight weeks, 70-plus yard touchdown runs. Stop blitzing him. But the Bills blitz the least amount of any defense. So maybe we actually see a defense that stays back and plays him the way we think everyone should play Lamar Jackson, the guy who wants to take off and run. He's letting it rip as well with deep passes. Bears and Giants, will Justin Fields complete 10 passes in this game? Week 1 against San Francisco, he was 8 of 17 for 121 yards. Week 2 against Green Bay, he completed 7 passes in that game for 70 yards. And week 3, last week against Houston, he completed 8 passes. Will Justin Fields complete 10 passes in this game against the New York Giants?
Imagine being in 2022 and the over-under for passes is 10 for an NFL team. Didn't think we'd be living in this bizarre world. But here we are in Chicago.
We're a first-round pick at that.
Yeah.
Browns on the road in Atlanta. Most rushing yards so far: Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, and Cordarrelle Patterson. Those are your 3 leading rushers. No other running back has topped 300 yards rushing on the season thus far. Chubb's leading the league in that category. Cordarrelle Patterson is 3rd with 302, and he took off last week. This is a battle of 2 strong performers. Where Chubb came off that college injury where he broke his leg on the sideline in Neyland, and he's off. I mean, he's phenomenal this year. Cordarrelle Patterson played at Neyland.
Yes,
and now,
he did.
And now look at him out of the backfield.
I love how for years it felt like people didn't really know exactly what to do with Cordarrelle Patterson, and then Arthur Smith saw him and said, oh, you mean this running back here? Yeah, he's going to play running back.
This franchise
full-time
running back?
Yeah.
Jags and Eagles, they've got franchise running backs. Lawrence, franchise quarterback, playing like one, efficient on quick passes in week 3. In less than 2.5 seconds, he completed 19 passes in less than 2.5 seconds. 162 yards and a touchdown. They're getting the ball out fast, and they're efficient with their offense. They're moving the sticks. And looking through what the Eagles have done, Jalen Hurts, another tremendous game for their high-powered attack offensively. He threw for 340 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. He threw the ball into a tight window 34% of the time, the highest of any quarterback in week three. Chargers on the road. They're banged up offensively, defensively. It starts at quarterback with Justin Herbert, who, I mean, the rib issue is going to linger. They lost Rashawn Slater at left tackle for the season. They lost Jalen Guyton at wide receiver for the season last week. Now they're on the road against Houston. The Texans, however, allow more yards. They're outgained more than any other defense in the National Football League. Outgained on average 122 yards per game, and their schedule is not that great on teams they've been facing here. So the Chargers can get back on track. John McClain told us as much.
Yeah, he's a believer.
Jets and Steelers, Pittsburgh 0-6-1 without T.J. Watt in their lineup. Over the last 2 weeks, just 7 quarterback hits combined with the pass rush that they have without T.J. Watt. Meanwhile, the Jets are 1-10 all-time when playing on the road in Pittsburgh. Something's got to give here. Do they get a pass rush against Zach Wilson, who makes his first start of the season?
I start to decide the fate of the Jets based on Zach Wilson's performance this weekend.
Seahawks and Lions. Detroit returns home against a bad Seattle team. Per the Action Network, I know we mentioned this last week. We said the Lions were favored, or maybe was it 2 weeks ago? The Lions are listed currently as a 4.5-point favorite against the Seahawks. Detroit has not been listed as a favorite at kickoff in 26 games. That's a record in the Super Bowl era. The last time they were favorites at kickoff was back in 2020 against the Carolina Panthers. Now, they opened as 1-point underdogs against the Commanders 2 weeks ago. Then the line moved to 2.5-point favorites, and we mentioned the stat then. But by kickoff, they were back to being underdogs again. They're at 4.5 right now. I don't think the money moves the line all that much. The Lions are going to be favored at kickoff on Sunday.
The way the NFL is designed, you got to work really hard to have a stat like that that the Lions have. So congratulations, Lions.
They're also 3-0 against the spread to open a season for the first time since 1992. Titans and Colts. Back to the scene of the injury for Derrick Henry, where he broke his foot a year ago, and then the Titans continue to run the football, but it was an uphill climb despite them winning 12 games. And it's been an uphill climb for them to start this season with Derrick Henry. They need him this week on the road against the Indianapolis Colts. Jonathan Taylor missed his first practice ever as a football player. Not in the NFL, not in college, as a football player yesterday. And he's got a toe issue.
He's back today, though.
How much will that affect him on game day, the fact that he missed a practice? And they're acknowledging that it's an issue coming off of last week's game against Kansas City. It's the battle of running backs. The best one, their team's winning. Commanders and Cowboys. Cooper Rush finished Monday Night Football by going 5 of 6, 108 yards. And he targeted receivers at the intermediate level between 11 and 20 yards. Very precise in the clutch moments. Cardinals and Panthers. Maybe the best wide receiver you don't know about in the NFL. His name is Greg Dortch for the Cardinals. He gets 4.9 yards of separation on average in week three. That's the most of any receiver in the league last week. He caught 9 passes for 90 yards offensively. Christian McCaffrey may not play. That means Deontay Foreman will play for the Panthers if that's the case. Broncos and Raiders, punter Corliss Waitman, 10 punts with at least an average of 47 yards, and he pinned 6 inside the 20-yard line for the Broncos in their 11-10 win over San Francisco. Shout out to all the punters. Shout out Brett Kern. Patriots and Packers. The Packers have not faced many plays, only 160 on the season. That's 30th in the NFL. They've been very good so far at getting 3 and outs. 33% of the time, it's a 3 and out, and they give the football back to their best quarterback, their top quarterback, their 2-time MVP over the last 2 years, Aaron Rodgers. Chiefs and Buccaneers are playing this game in Tampa. Per the Action Network, Tom Brady, 7-2 straight up and against the spread after a loss for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Rams and 49ers on Monday Night Football. According to Andrew Siciliano, Jimmy G pressured 12% of the time with Trent Williams on the field. Without him, he's pressured 21% of the time. And now he's facing the Rams front this week in a battle of the NFC West.
Hun,
there's
you did it.
One big
you did it. You got through every game.
NFL
I didn't think it was possible. Didn't think it was going to happen. But you made it through every game. Well done. You earned that simple
And we
water.
Made it through this show.
Yes.
Back at it tomorrow. A big football preview plus Jim Leyritz and more. Hope you'll join us 2 o'clock Central, 3 o'clock Eastern across the AppKick Network.